You know, one of the things that we teach here, of course, is discipline. And we must be disciplined to put on the full armor of God and apply the blood and so forth. And not only do we sit and we speak it to be dressed with it, but I want to go a little bit deeper. I want to go a little bit deeper about the full armor of God, and that's what tonight's teaching is about, the full armor of God. And so if you'll turn to Hosea 4:6, famous scripture, praise God, Hosea 4:6, the full armor of God. Can everybody see? And can everybody hear? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hosea 4:6. Thank you, Lord. All the blood of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Is everybody there? Hosea 4:6. What chapter? What page you guys got?
608.
608. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Can you see back there? Can you see? Okay. Hosea 4:6. Let's read it together. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hello? My people are destroyed for lack of... Now, understand that the representation of knowledge means understanding also. Because knowledge without understanding is not knowledge. Does everybody get it? Knowledge without understanding is really not knowledge. It's deception. And knowledge is a representation of truth. So my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge or lack of understanding. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priests for me. Wow. That's the first office God gives us. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Some of us were forgotten. And some of our children have been forgotten because of where we've been. Amen? But as we get back in line, our children will be rescued. Amen? So you got to understand something. For lack of knowledge or lack of understanding or lack of wisdom, lack of fellowship, lack of anything in the Spirit brings destruction. Because what the first thing the devil does is begin to bring deception, and deception brings false accusation, false truths, lies, and we begin to bite these baits and go astray. In fact, the world takes theories and calls them truths. Amen? But there's only one truth. Praise be to God. So Jesus said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And we must get real knowledge and real understanding. Go to 1 Peter 5. First Peter chapter 5. Hallelujah. First Peter chapter 5. Is everybody there? In verse 8. Let's all read it together, okay? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Oh, he's just waiting. He's waiting for that open door. He's waiting for that loophole. That's what he's waiting for. And he's seeking whom he can devour. Now, let me share something with you. After you become a believer, he seeks you even harder. So, you know, he's coming after you even more. He comes after you in such a subtle way that you don't even realize he's there sometimes. One of the first things he starts to bring is compromise and laziness. That's the first thing he starts shuffling off to us. Laziness. The first thing he says, I know this. I'm all right. Man, I've been through this before. Whoa. That's how the devil begins to speak. What he's doing is drawing you into laziness. And when you get lazy is when he comes in with the harpoons. Because he don't play no games. He's out to what? Devour us, isn't he? He's out to devour us. That's his job. And he does it very well. Go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Is everybody there? Let's read this together. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now understand, this is a state of being of being born again. Where old things have passed away and all things have become new. This is a state of being a born again. And the first thing the devil wants to do is take you out of that position of the new creation so he can eat you up. Does everybody get that? He's trying to remove you from that position of that born-again state of being. So if he can get you out of that place and bring you into the flesh, he has access to you. Does everybody get it? So the first thing he begins to do is start throwing suggestions. Those suggestions begin to move you out of place. Once you've moved out of place, he comes at you to devour you. Does everybody understand that? Okay? But you know, the Lord has given us things like the full armor of God to defend ourselves and to attack. Now, watch this. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 18. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. So, it's our responsibility to keep ourselves. Does everybody understand that? It is not God's responsibility, it's ours. In verse 19, we know that we are of God and the whole world lies under the what? Sway of the wicked one. That means that the world is under darkness. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding. That's the correct knowledge. Does everybody get it? That's true knowledge. That we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Those are things that the devil wants to put across our path. So it's our responsibility to keep ourselves. And that's why the Lord gives us the full armor of God. That's a way to keep us. All right? Now go to Ephesians 6. Is everybody there? Let's read verse 10. 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, he makes a statement. He says, listen, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. In other words, keep yourself. And then he tells us what we're to do. He says, put on the whole armor of God. Now, let me share something with you. Without the whole armor of God, you have an open door. Underline the word whole. Some people are only putting on parts of the armor of God. It says, put on the whole armor of God, that what? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, which means trickery. So understand this. If you do not have the full armor of God on, or the whole armor of God on, you will not be able to overcome the wicked trickery of the devil. That's why some people who are speaking, and let me share this with you. You can be speaking the whole armor of God, but not have the whole armor of God on. But we know that when in the discipleship house, when guys first come in, they're speaking the full armor of God. They're putting on the whole armor of God. But without truly understanding of it, you don't know what the whole armor of God is. Does everybody get it? So in the beginning, it's discipline, and because we're babies in Christ at that point, the Lord gives us divine protection, even in our ignorance. And then he comes to a point where he says, okay, it's time for you to take care of yourself. Okay? So we might as well get this right now. Because I believe that the Lord wants to show us the true understanding of the whole armor of God. So that as you're putting it on, you can envision who you are with the whole armor of God. Because what you see who you are is who you are. Does everybody get it? And the devil always wants to try and paint a picture of something else. But God wants to show you what truly the full armor of God is about. Amen? Praise God. Let's go on. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the trickery of the devil. So understand again, if you do not have the whole armor of God on, you won't overcome the trickery of the devil. And verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So understand something. The whole armor of God is an offense and defense. It's a defender and attacker. Is everybody with me? Hallelujah. I want you to kind of like envision the whole armor of God as a spiritual machine. It's a spiritual machine. Like a tank. But it's a spiritual machine. This is what the armor of God is. Okay? A spiritual machine that has to have the mind of Christ to operate it. The carnal mind cannot operate the full armor of God. The mind of Christ does. Is everybody with me? It needs to have a spiritual mind. Let's go to Acts 1:8. Hallelujah. Did you ever see those, this may sound strange, what are those kids' toys that turn, they're a person and they turn into a machine? Transformers? You know, look at one of those things that turns into the full armor of God. All right? Look at one of those. That turns into the full, and it, you know what? It can become many parts of a machine, can it? Yeah. Some of them turn into rocket launchers. Some of them turn into a defense machine. Some turn into a tank. Some turn into a jet fighter carrying all of these weapons. I want you to envision the full armor of God and being that way in the spiritual realm. That you put out, you're walking in the full armor of God, and when needed, everything changes. You change. You turn into this transformer from carnal man to spirit man. Amen? You know, Superman used to have to run a telephone booth. We don't run a telephone booth. We We're just calling the name of Jesus, and we make sure that we have the understanding in the Spirit. So you must understand something, Dan. Without being in the Spirit, the full armor of God cannot be activated. Hello? Okay. Acts 1:8. Holy Ghost Transformers. In verse 8, what does it say? But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Now, understand something. This machine must have a battery. It must have power. And the source of this power is the Holy Spirit. Does everybody get it? Without the power of the Holy Spirit, the full armor of God is not activated. It's a spiritual battery. Go to Isaiah 11. I don't want you all going out buying all these transforming machines, all right? We don't want any stumbling blocks. It's not a carnal thing, right? It's a spiritual thing. Isaiah 11. Is everybody there? In verse 1 and 2. Let's read it together. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Now this is the sevenfold of the Holy Spirit. And when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, hello? The sevenfold of the Holy Spirit begins to manifest in your life. In a computer, they have the main brain, which is called a CPU, Central Processing Unit. It operates. It is the main thing that operates, and it gives instructions of what the hardware, and it cooperates with the hardware and the software. The Holy Spirit, does everybody understand what I'm sharing? When the Holy Spirit comes into this temple, it turns on the armor of God. Without the Holy Spirit and wisdom and knowledge and understanding and reverence and might and counsel and the Spirit of the Lord upon you, the CPU unit in you, the brain that operates the full armor of God, without Him, there is no operation of the full armor of God. Does everybody understand that? He's the one that operates it. He's the one, He mentors you. Does everybody get it? He mentors you to operate it then. But He is the main source. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is the brains of the spiritual machine. He is the instructor or the mentor. He's the power and the brain of the full armor. And it won't operate in its full capacity without Him. It's like a military tank that there is no escape from the operation of its weapons. And He is the operator inside. Does everybody get it? You can't escape. The enemy cannot escape when the full armor of God is in operation. Its weapons reach everywhere and anything. Is everybody with me? Okay. Go to Romans 13. No, let's go to Isaiah 59, since we're in Isaiah. Isaiah 59. Oh, hallelujah. Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. Now, we just expressed, we read the full armor of God, right? And in the full armor of God, it also says praying without ceasing, praying in the Spirit without ceasing. Amen? So I want you to understand that tongues is part of the full armor of God. All right? Now, let's go a little further here. And we'll get back to that. Isaiah 59 and verse 16. Let's read it. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, and accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. The coastlands he will fully repay. So shall their fear, then the name of the Lord from west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Wow. What's he using? The armor. Your armor. The spiritual machine. The Redeemer will come to Zion and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My Spirit who is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth, shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forever. Come on. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will rise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings of brightness. Wow, of your rising. This is the operation of the full armor of God. It's a representation of the glory of God upon you. It's a representation of the Spirit of the Lord upon you. It's a representation of the Spirit of the Lord in you. The CPU, the brain of the whole full armor of God and the operator. And he is the mentor and the instructor, and he's teaching me and you how to operate the full armor of God. Does everybody understand that? So it's much more deep than we just talk about putting the breastplate on the righteousness, the helmet of salvation. Because you and I are in a war. And you cannot go out to war unless you're dressed for war. And it's a spiritual war. And if you're not getting instructions of the Holy Spirit, your armor is not on. Does everybody understand that? If you're not walking in the Spirit, you're not fully dressed. Amen? Go to Romans 13. Oh, praise be to God. Glory to God. Thank you. Okay, we're going to go to another place too. Romans 13, to God be the glory. And verse 11 through 14. Romans 13, 11 through 14. Let's read this together. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is a high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Wow. In other words, your redemption, your salvation is drawing closer. The completion of it. Now it says the what? The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and in envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Now understand this, the full armor of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. Come back to that. Please remind me. All right, let's go there now. Okay. Romans 12 and verse 2. Is everybody there? Let's read it. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we're to be transformed. Does everybody get it? We're getting transformed from the carnal to the spirit, putting on the Holy Ghost, full armor of God. You're putting on Jesus, because Jesus is a warrior. He is known as a man of valor, a mighty man. He's a warrior. Remember your first priesthood. Your first office is priesthood. Go to Revelation. Hallelujah. You and I are called to be priests and kings, aren't we? A king is a warrior. He can't war without a full armor of God. Go to Revelation chapter 1. We're to be transformed. Holy Ghost Transformers. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In verse 10. 1:10. Everybody there? Let's read it together. I was in the Spirit on the day of the Lord, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in the book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Samaria, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. Now what was he in? He was in the Spirit, and he was seeing the full armor of God and Jesus being manifest. Watch. His head and hair were white like wool, and as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. Hey, you know, what do they use at night? What do they call it? Infrared? They can see at night? Hello? Let me tell you something. In the spirit, darkness cannot prevent you from seeing. Does everybody understand that? Darkness cannot prevent you from seeing. So you can put down your infrared lights. That's your infrared eyes. Glory to God. In verse 15, his feet were like brass, as if refined in the furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. It's called the armor of light, brothers. Does everybody get it? So what did he see? He saw, let me share something with you. That is the full armor. Wasn't Jesus transfigured? Amen. Amen. Well, so are me and you.
Amen.
Changed. totally changed in the spirit. So you can't look at yourself in the flesh. You must look at yourself in the spirit. Does everybody understand that? You're a Holy Ghost transformer with the armor of light and the glory. You're loaded down. You've been sent out to destroy the army of darkness. You've been sent out to destroy Satan's kingdom. That's why you're in Holy Ghost boot camp, officers training camp, school. You've been prepared and being prepared to fulfill an office, and to be warriors and soldiers. Jesus is our high commander. And this is what he looks like. And he has a two-edged sword coming out of his mouth. And he's dressed with the full armor of the glory of God and the armor of light. And we're his offsprings. Not only are we his offsprings, but we are his servants. And not only are we his brothers, but he is also our Father who loves us. And he's dressing each and every one of us with his Spirit. So that the full armor of God can be activated in you and in me. That's why it's so important to have fellowship in the Spirit. Everybody get it? Hallelujah. Let's go to Mark 16. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Mark 16. Is everybody there? In verse 16. Let's read it together. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. What's the word believe mean? Follow. Follow. In verse 17, and these signs will follow those who believe or who follow. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Let me share something with you. Three things manifest in this scripture. Attack, defend, and rescue. Does everybody see it? Attack, defend, and rescue. Attack. Three things in this verse. The first one is attack, defend, and rescue. And this is what you and I are to do. We're to go out and attack. We're to defend the truth. And we're to rescue the lost. And those who are bound or oppressed by the devil. That's what a warrior does. Did you notice that you first attack? Does everybody get it? You first attack. Then you defend. Amen? You notice that five parts of the armor of God is defend, and one part is attack. But we'll get to that. So we're to what? Attack, defend, and rescue. Because we're on a mission from God. Holy Ghost mission. Go to Luke 4. Luke chapter 4. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 4. in verse 1. Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. Let's all read it together. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now let me share something with you. After he got filled with the Spirit, he got dressed with the full armor of God. The first thing he went to was in the wilderness to attack. You know why? Because if he did not go in the wilderness and attack the devil, he could not rescue me and you. So what did he do? He went into the wilderness to attack the devil. When he came out of the wilderness, where did he go? To preach the truth. So he was defending the truth, wasn't he? And then he went to go rescue the lost. Where did he go rescue the lost? At his death. Watch. Being tempted for 40 days by the devil, and in those days he ate nothing, and afterwards when they had ended, he was hungry. Amen? And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." But Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." So he was attacking the devil. He took the sword of the Spirit and went and attacked the devil. But he couldn't go in there until he was dressed with the full armor. That's where the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He couldn't go in there unless he knew how to operate the armor. The mind of Christ had to be manifested. Does everybody get it? That's why it's our responsibility to shut down the carnal mind and prevent the devil from activating the carnal mind. But we'll get there. Hallelujah. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Second Corinthians chapter 10. Jesus. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Keep your finger there and turn back to Luke 4. It's finger exercises. Hallelujah. In Luke 4, in verse 18, what does it say? Come on, read it with me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Hallelujah. The full armor of God is manifested. Why? Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. In other words, he's bringing the message of truth. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. That's rescue, isn't it? To proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, those who have been bound by darkness. And to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus went into the place of the synagogue and said, "Listen, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Glory to God. I'm walking in the full armor of God. No weapon formed against me can prosper. He who's in me is greater than he who's in the world. I'm more than a conqueror. I've come to attack the devil. I've come to defend the truth, and I've come to rescue my people." He declared it himself when he went in and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Verse 18 through 19 is exactly what I just shared. Does everybody understand that? Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Hallelujah. Starting at verse 3. Let's read this together. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now that's powerful, isn't it? So, well, you and I are to get dressed to kick butt on the devil. Does everybody understand that? We're to get dressed with the full armor of God. The devil will attack your mind because he's trying to reactivate the carnal mind. Because if the carnal mind is activated, it cannot operate the full armor of God. Is everybody with me? So it shuts down the spiritual mind of Christ and disarms or removes your armor of dress. That's why we must cast down thoughts and imaginations that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. That's why when your mind starts drifting on the things of the world for pleasure, you must cast them down. Because if the devil can disactivate you, your armor, it's like shields up. Amen? It's like divine protection. You can't operate. That's why the Word tells us that when the seed is planted, the devil comes and takes the seed out of the heart. He's trying to steal the seed. He's trying to steal the source of power. He's trying to deactivate your full armor. And you must look at this in another realm and not a carnal realm. You know, Paul used the armor of God at his period of time as a Roman soldier dress. And you know what? The Roman soldiers, the Roman Empire was ruling the world. So a Roman soldier's dress of armor was powerful at that time. It was supposed to be unbeatable. They were dressed to kill and destroy. And their defense, at that period of time, you know, every time somebody would build a shield, an enemy would build a shield of protection, somebody else would see that shield because they would just lose because they couldn't penetrate with that shield. And what they would do is they'd go back and they'd rebuild another shield. And everybody was trying to outdo the weapons. And it's still going on today, isn't it? Amen. But there are weapons in the spiritual realm that you and I must have. We must allow the mind of Christ to continue to be activated so that we walk in the Spirit, which continues to activate the full armor of God. Amen? Amen. 1 Samuel 17. Hallelujah. Now, you know, David, King David, was a worshiper first. Amen? He was a worshiper. And then he became a king who became a warrior. So you must never lose sight that your first office of priesthood is as a worshiper. When you begin to neglect that, you begin to neglect your armor. In 1 Samuel 17 and verse 31, hallelujah, is everybody there? Now, there was this dude named Goliath. He was a giant. Big dude. Big demon. And he was harassing the army of Israel and basically profaning it, challenging everyone to come on down and fight him. And all these men that were dressed with the armor, natural armor and so forth, they would die every time they go. Nobody could defeat this dude. Amen? So here comes David, a praise and worship leader, a priest in his own way, a worshiper of the Lord, who had the Holy Spirit upon him. And in verse 31, now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Because David said, let me at that Mohegan. I'll go out there and kick his butt. How dare you come against the army of God. How dare you profane the army of Israel and the God of Israel? He wasn't going to take no garbage. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go out and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, You are not able to go out against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." Now, this is very nicely put, and I'd like to have been in that room when David went to King Saul, who's defeated thousands and been out there fighting, and here comes little David come up and said, "You know, I want to go out there and fight him." I can imagine Saul going, "What, you out of your mind, kid? Come on, get out of the way." And here's David jumping in front of him. "Come on, let me, you know." And he said, "All right." In verse 34, "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it.'" That's the anointing, brother. "Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Now, nobody spoke that in that whole camp but little David. "Moreover, David said, 'The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'Go ahead. Go, and the Lord be with you.'" Go ahead. You convinced me. All right. I mean, he probably looked at his right hand man and said, "This kid ain't going to... You better start digging the hole for him." You know. So this kid's out of his mind. "Oh, man, he's going to make a fool of us. But anyways, let's go. At least he's going out there. Nobody else will go out there." So Saul was like, "Okay, how can I help this kid?" In verse 38, "So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put on a bronze helmet on his head, and he also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, 'I cannot walk with this, for I have not tested it.' So David took off the armor." In other words, it was a hindrance. Let me share something with you. You can't put on nobody else's armor. You can't wear my armor. I can't wear your armor. Does everybody get it? Everybody's armor is activated by getting in the spirit yourself. "Then he took his stuff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, and put them in the shepherd's bag and in the pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he almost fainted." No. "He disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, 'Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?' And the Philistine cursed David by his God. And the Philistine said to David, 'Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field.' Then David said to the Philistine, 'You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel.'" Isn't that powerful? Powerful. In verse 47, then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. Wow. That's powerful. That's powerful. We know that David defeated Goliath, hit him right between the eyes and the head. You know what that means? That's the mind. Kick butt. Right between the eyes. Knocked him conscious and killed him. Bam. And then cut off his head. Personally, I think he knocked him out and cut off his head. You know? And he used stones. And the stone represents the word. Because it's a rock. Okay? And there was five stones, which is the fivefold ministry. But anyways, it's a whole nother teaching. So, but he didn't come to him. He said, listen, I didn't come to you in the armor of man. And he took off the armor of man. He came to him in the armor of God. Do you understand that? He came to him in the armor of God. He was transformed out there. What did it say? Do not be conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He went out there making confession. I'm going to kick your butt, devil. Man, you have defied the army and the God of Israel. And I'm not going to let you get away with it. Now, many men have come out here and have lost because they came out here with the armor of man. But I come out here with the armor of God. And you will not defeat me. Does everybody get it?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now let's go back to Ephesians 6. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6. Yes. He was a real giant. He was real. He was a big guy. he was probably about 12 foot tall. 10 to 12 foot tall. Hallelujah. Okay, it says in verse 13, let's go to verse 14. It says, "For stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." So we see here he speaks about the full armor of God. Amen. Now I'm going to go down the full armor of God, but I'm going to go down starting from the helmet, okay? We'll start from the head down. The helmet of salvation. Now, we already talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 about casting down thoughts and imaginations because the devil is trying to deactivate the mind of Christ and activate the carnal mind. And if he can activate the carnal mind, he will disarm or undress your full armor. Does everybody get it? Okay. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, hallelujah, the helmet of salvation. Is everybody there? 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Let's read it together. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter time some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Wow. Those are the ones that are not staying in the Spirit. Because if they're staying in the Spirit, the full armor of God is being activated. If the devil can convince you to get out of the spirit, your armor is just activated. Does everybody understand that? And then there's a grace period of time. That's when grace kicks in. And the Lord is saying, come on, get back in, get back in, get back in, get back in. And if you don't, then you usually bite the bait. Amen? So he says that they're going to take heed. In other words, they're going to listen to deceiving spirits and believe the voice of the devil, which was known as doctrines of demons. So understand that the helmet of salvation is a representation of the battle of the mind. Amen? And that's the first. That's one of the first things the devil is going to attack me and you on, is the mind. Amen? Because if he can disactivate the mind of Christ and activate the carnal mind, he can disarm you. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Hallelujah. One of the ways he tries to deactivate the mind of Christ is with fear, doubt, unbelief. But one of the first things he starts doing is hitting you with fear. In verse 7, read it with me. No, wait a minute. Go to verse 6. Go to verse 6. Verse 6 is the warning. Watch this. He says what? Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying out of my hands. So he's saying, listen, you got to stir up yourself in the Holy Spirit. Why? So that the mind of Christ can be activated and the full armor of God can. In verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Glory to God. So it's important that we stir up ourselves, maintaining the full armor of God. Amen? So the helmet of salvation. Of course, you know, the devil tells people, oh man, this, you know, I mean, he's nothing but a liar, right? He's got to get to your mind. If he can't get to your, if you can prevent him from getting to your mind, he won't get to anything else. And it doesn't mean that you're not going to get thoughts. It doesn't mean that darts aren't going to come. But the thing is what are you going to do with them? Amen. What are you going to do with them? That's why the word says, cast them down. It doesn't mean that they're not going to come. But you're to cast them down so they cannot penetrate and deactivate. Does everybody get it? Because if they penetrate, they deactivate. Hallelujah. The next thing I want to talk about is the breastplate of righteousness. And we know that the Bible says that our own righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. So it must be the righteousness of Christ that must be manifest in us. But I want to share something with you. It says it's the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate protects the heart. Okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 5. Everybody there? Let's read it together. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. So he's speaking about the armor, isn't he? Protecting the heart and love, right? Go to Romans 4 and verse 5. But to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are what? Forgiven. Wow. And whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Amen. Well, you know, we sin, and sin affects the heart, doesn't it? Amen. In fact, the Bible says that our heart is wicked and so forth. And out of the mouth speaks the heart. So our heart must be protected with the righteousness of Christ. Does everybody understand that? The next thing I want to talk about is the belt of truth. The belt of truth. And I always share this, that it's a belt that holds up your pants. Amen? So it's truth that holds up your pants. If your truth is not on you, your pants fall and you usually end up tripping over them, right? So it's known as the belt of truth. John 8:31. Hallelujah. Let's read it together. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now understand this. Truth makes you free. In other words, truth frees you from deception. Deception leads you into bondage because the devil is a liar. And its purpose is to lead you into bondage. Does everybody understand that? So truth actually frees you from deception. And that's why you're free. Does everybody get it? Go to John 15. In verse 26. Let's read it together. When the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Now we know that he is known as the Spirit of truth. So if you have not fellowship or are walking in the Spirit and having fellowship with the Spirit, you won't know the truth. Because he's the one that's going to declare the truth. That's why many people can read the Bible and still not know the truth. Because they don't have understanding of the truth. Everybody get it? Understanding of the knowledge is what truth is. If you don't understand the knowledge, it's still deception. Hallelujah. The next thing I want to talk about is the gospel of peace, which is the shodden of the feet of the gospel of peace. Amen? Now, the word gospel means message. Message. In Matthew 5:9. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In Matthew 5:9. Is everybody there? It says what? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Wow. Why? Because they're walking in the full armor, aren't they? Go to Luke 2. Luke 2. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Verse 13 and 14. Now this is when the angels appeared to the shepherds. And in verse 13 it says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Why? Because God was bringing peace and reconciliation between God and man. And the message of peace, the message of the gospel, is to bring reconciliation with God and man. Does everybody get that? So you and I are to be peacemakers. The next thing is the shield of faith. Hebrew 11. Is everybody all right? Hebrew 11. Glory to God. Now, the shield of faith is the protector of the armor. Okay? The shield of faith protects your armor. Because it's movable, isn't it? And it's faith. It's the shield of faith that's protecting everything. So the shield of faith is the protector of the armor. Alright? And in verse 1, it says what? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, you got to understand something. Well, we can go into a whole teaching about this, but anyways. You got to understand when things were translated and so forth, commas were put in places and whatever. Now, I want you to remove this comma and put it after evidence. So if you were to read it, it would say, now faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. Because without faith, there is no evidence, is there? Faith is tangible. Amen. And the Bible says that the shield of faith will quench every fiery dart. Is everybody with me? Well, those darts are trying to penetrate every bit of your armor. Trying to penetrate the heart, the mind, cause you to stumble, try to remove the truth. So the faith is what keeps you. Amen? The faith is what protects the armor. Okay. Go to verse 6. In other words, faith in this area of the full armor of God, it allows you not to walk by what you feel, what you see, or what you think. Does everybody get it? It allows you to walk in the Spirit and trusting in the Lord. In verse 6, what's it say? But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Wow. In other words, you must know Him. And go to verse 30. Is everybody there? Come on, everybody say it. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. Wow, and then they attacked, didn't it? So understand, it's faith that protects the full armor of God. Amen. It's the shield that protects the fiery darts that are coming at you. That's why some people can be dressed, but the faith isn't there. They're open. The devil starts shooting darts. And those are the ones that are not rooted. Everybody get it? Hallelujah. Now, and it says, praying always in the Spirit, right? Praise God. Go to Romans 8. Now, praying in the Spirit means praying in tongues. In verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So understand, as you're praying in the Holy Ghost, you're praying the perfect will of God for you. Amen? And whoever else God is praying through you for. And the praying in the Spirit is a part of the full armor of God. All right? Now, we just talked about five defenses and one offense, okay, which is attack. And we talked about, we didn't talk about the sword of the Spirit yet, did we? Okay. We'll talk about the sword of the Spirit right now. Hallelujah. Now remember, it's called the sword of the Spirit, not the sword of the flesh. It's not called the sword of the Word, it's called the sword of the Spirit. Because the letter killeth, but the Spirit brings life. It is the Word, but it's the Word in the Spirit, not the Word in the carnal. Everybody get it? So, in other words, the Spirit takes the Word and utilizes it. According to the Spirit, not according to man. All right. In fact, we read in Matthew 4:4 when Jesus was attacked by, or actually Jesus went and attacked the devil. It says Jesus, the devil tempted Jesus, but Jesus attacked the devil. And he attacked him by the word of God, by speaking the word. He said it was written. And then the Bible says that the devil flew, or fled, and he came back at another opportune time. Okay? But we've talked about defenses, and now I just want to share a couple things about the offense, because it is the ministry of the Spirit, so what is spoken is what activates the things in warfare. Amen? Now, in our offense, which means attack, God has given us three weapons. Okay? I'm not going to go in depth with them. I'm just going to share with you. It's called the blood, the word, and the name of Jesus. Those are the three weapons of God. And He's given us two keys of God, which are part of the weapons. And that's binding and loosening. Amen? And these are, if you look at a fighter jet, so when you get transformed in the full armor of God and you turn into a fighter jet, you can look at these missiles underneath your wings. Amen? And in there are the word, the name, the blood, the binding, and the loosening. And you're going out to attack, amen, because you're fully armed. And the warheads are armed, amen. And that's where the word says and that the word goes forth and will not return void. It says that even pierces, to make it short, the spirit, soul, and body, and the intent and the thoughts of the mind, amen. So you go out there and attack. You attack, you defend, and you rescue. But you can't do it without the full armor of God. And the weapons of God must be activated by what you speak. Now, so we talked about offense and defense, didn't we? There's defense in the armor, and then there's an offense in the armor. There's the protection, and there's the attack. And there's one, there's a weapon that God has given me and you that is like a nuclear bomb. Okay, and it's called praise and worship. Go to 2 Corinthians Chapter 20. No. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Sorry. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And verse 1. Let's read it. It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Now, he was king of Judah. All right? Go to verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and to proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And the Lord answered him and sent his prophet. Okay? And his prophet spoke to them. Is everybody with me? Go to verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, He appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of the holiness as they went out before the army and were saying. So they went out before the army, didn't they? This was air attack. The full armor of God is used for ground attack. The worship is used for air attack. Okay? So it's like you're shooting missiles and you're attacking. Amen? In the air and in the ground. Now, and they were going out before the army going, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Let's go on. Now, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord sent ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. So you see, the praise and worship does the air attack, right? Now, they weren't even near there, and the Lord sent ambushes against their enemy. So you see that there's offense and defense is activated in praise and worship. Go to verse 23. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So they killed each other. So the Lord brought confusion in the enemy's camp. He ambushed some, and he brought confusion in the other. And they killed one another. By what? Praise and worship. So when Judah came to the place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were there 3 days gathering the spoil, because there is so much. And let me tell you something. There is victory in the full armor of God. There is victory. And you and I have been called to take the spoil from the devil, possessing the land, attacking, defending, and rescuing. So understand, the full armor of God is more than what just you're saying, putting it on. You are not to be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that the full armor of God can be transformed in you. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We honor you and we bless you. Holy Spirit, we ask that you'll continue to quicken us to stay in the Spirit, not letting the carnal mind be activated, but the mind of Christ be activated, that the full armor of God can be activated in us, that we could go about our Father's business in spirit, truth, and in power to attack, to defend, and to rescue, expanding your kingdom and bringing glory to your name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.